weekly to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here is today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus location from high atop the ultra-modern, full-on, state-of-the-art bioscience building. Today, it is a real great pleasure for me to introduce our listeners to my guest, Mrs. Tanya Reuter, and she is the KUSD Director of Community Partnerships and Media Relations. We'll discuss her role in that capacity and some of the activities she directs on behalf of our students, their families, and neighbors and stakeholders in the Kenosha area. I feel especially proud from a personal standpoint that this is the first time that I'm aware that she has been introduced in this kind of a format to the community since she's assumed that role, and we'll talk a little bit more about that also. But much as I do with all of my guests, I'm going to ask Tanya to describe her professional preparation and credentials and the role education has played in bringing her to this point. And specifically, I think it would be interesting to know where you come from, Tanya, and why was it? Is this just a frustration assignment because you haven't published the Great American Novel or gotten that Pulitzer endorsement yet? So please introduce us to yourself in that respect, and I really look forward to hearing that.
Sure. Thanks for having me, first of all.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a beautiful morning.
Yes. So I myself am a product of the public education system. I went through Oak Creek Franklin Public Schools, and from there I went to UW Oshkosh actually as a pre-dentistry major. Uh-huh. And when I got to college and really got to select my courses and classes, I found that I wasn't loving math as much as I was loving English. Uh-huh. And upon talking to some of my classmates, I found out about the journalism and advertising program offered at UW Oshkosh. Gave it a shot and absolutely fell in love with it. So I pursued that and graduated in 2005 from UW Oshkosh with a journalism and public relations degree. My first job out of college was actually with the Salvation Army of Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. And that was a great springboard for me. I learned a lot. I had a really great role model. And he actually left shortly after I had started there, about 6 months into it, and I had to quickly fill his shoes. So,
so he felt the pressure and said,
yeah,
bye.
Yes. So I quickly learned a lot of responsibility, and mm-hmm. He kept mentoring me from afar, which was really, really kind. But I just felt like there was more for me to do, and I ended up finding a position with Franklin Public Schools.
Okay.
And at that time, I left
the Southern Army. So that's kind of a return home in a way.
Yes, absolutely.
A small town girl makes good and comes back, and then moving on to bigger and better things, certainly, with the local district.
Well, the neighboring district, yes, because I graduated from Oak Creek High School.
Oak Creek,
yes,
right.
And Franklin is a little bit separate, but much smaller school district, much, much smaller than Kenosha Unified, but a great place to learn. I was a one-person shop there, as we refer to it in the public school relations profession, and so I had to learn a lot of things, but for me it was about trying to implement new things for the district, for the community, and during the recession, the position was cut to halftime. That didn't work for my family, and so my husband and I were young, and we ended up landing in Nashville, Tennessee, and there I actually worked for the teachers union for 2 years.
Okay.
And at that time, I decided...
In the same kind of a public relations capacity, I suspect.
Okay. Yep, as the brand manager and the webmaster.
Okay.
Getting more experience under my belt, learning from new people, again, totally new role models, learning different management styles, and I'm thankful for each step of the way. And at that time, I decided to pursue my master's degree through the Florida Institute of Technology, and I received my MBA with an emphasis in marketing. And at that time, I was actually approached by Vanderbilt University while we lived there, and I took the opportunity.
To go back to Tennessee.
Well, we were still in Tennessee.
Okay.
I actually did my degree online,
okay,
which was perfect as a new mother in a new state and a new job. So it worked perfectly. Yes. Yes. So I took the opportunity with Vanderbilt. Again, you know, in my career, I always thought as if there's an opportunity that's approached and it's a fit, then take it because there's always new people to learn from. And so I went to Vanderbilt, again, learning from all new people surrounded by PhDs and just a different world in higher education, but learned a lot there as well. And there just happened to be one day where I was homesick and my mother-in-law called me, who is a resident of Kenosha. My husband is actually a product of Kenosha, Curtis Strange Bull in Bradford.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So, and she said, you wouldn't believe what I saw in the paper. There is an ad for this position, and I just feel like it might be a fit.
Wow.
Why don't you apply? And I thought, you know what, I might do that, because in the position I had started with Vanderbilt, I kind of felt like there was no growth there.
Okay.
And so I thought, I'll apply. Well, I applied.
Kind of a ceiling on upward mobility or whatever you want to call it.
Yes,
yeah, yes. Opportunities. Sure,
yes.
Sure.
Yes, loved everybody I was surrounded by, but it was
that's
very
where it was
evident
stay
that,
for a
yes.
Long time. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took the opportunity, I applied, and I was quickly called, interviewed, and offered the position. So
Wonderful. So
here I am in Kenosha, and
okay.
It was great because it actually brought my husband back to Kenosha. It brought us closer to family and friends who we had been away from for, you know, over 3 years. And
sure.
Yeah, it was
now,
good.
Okay. So, and what time frame was that? Just so that people know how long you've been here, and then as we can start talking about some of your responsibilities, activities, and so forth.
I started with Kenosha Unified in August 2012.
Okay, 2012. So all the traveling was very beneficial, and I'm quite sure rewarding, and getting to see a number of different people, and bringing all those entry level skills now into a situation in a much larger, much more a complex stage, if you want to describe Kenosha that way, must make it. I guess kind of it could be a conflict in a way. You're surrounded by great people, Gilbert and Adam and all these other folks that I know that you work with in the central office, and certainly Dr. Sue. And then all of a sudden somebody does something and you say, oh, I remember when I was doing that. It must be very energizing. But yet on one hand, yet on the other, nope, I've got to delegate this and make sure that this goes in the direction, and I've got to build the capacity and make sure this it gets done responsibly. Is that a fair characterization?
To some extent. I think for me, one of the best parts of my job is that I am surrounded by an amazing team.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to mention the staff and students who really, I mean, they create everything that we are responsible for promoting. And it's an amazing school district. The things that our teachers are doing with our students and the level of commitment of to the children of our community is just, it just goes beyond words. They really blow me away.
Unfair
on a regular
to try and
basis.
Explain, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
hard to explain. You know, for the most part, it's usually more difficult to try to keep up with almost promoting all the good stuff that we have going on.
Sure.
And almost
sure.
unfair that we don't have more outlets to just shout from the mountaintops all of the great things that our schools are doing at this point. And the great the excellence that our students just emit, and it's a true blessing to be able to work with everyone.
And on that topic, recently the mission statement changed, and is that fair to discuss now? And what how that looks? I know I had to change my signature block, and I did so faithfully when I was first notified.
Yes.
Is there, do you think, a real change that people would notice just being informed of it now?
Not quite. This process is something that we are not rushing through. We are certainly taking our time.
And it didn't happen overnight either. Someone didn't Dr. Sue didn't go off one night and say, well, okay, I'm going to go to dinner and oops, you know what, mission statement. We said grace, let me get this done and I'll be right back. It's not that kind of a process.
You know, Dr. Sue started in her superintendent role in July 2014. And so she took her first few months to settle in. And then in February, we started the process of the strategic planning.
Strategic visioning and so forth, sure.
And it took us from February until July just to land upon our mission, vision, core values, and our strategic directions. So if we looked at it, we would pretty much so say phase one is done, but we haven't even touched on phase two yet. That is yet to come, hopefully starting in January of 2016, right around the corner, essentially. And that is building out each initiative that will support each of our five strategic directions that were developed in the first phase. And we see that taking us, again, a good 6 months, probably not really having anything final until at least summer. Next year. So, and then hopefully being able to slowly roll that out and implement it, but doing it well and making sure that all of our staff understand and can embrace what we are trying to roll out.
Well, you have a tremendous opportunity also, as I see it, if it's able to be implemented, to be that on the ground and very, very local and accessible resource example. Role models, mentors to our students that want to go in this direction. Is it unfair for me to presume that maybe there might be a project or two that you would see KUSD students actually working in the central office hand in hand with, as I said, Gilbert or Adam or yourself, and they're interested in marketing, for example. And I do have another question that rolls off of that, but. Is this something that we could foreseeably witness, that students would be actively involved in? Because I see in other districts sometimes students are doing some what I consider some very, very innovative and I almost think Kenosha-like things. Because as I've gone to conferences in the past and so forth, I've sat around where people are talking about all these great, wonderful things they're doing, and I'm yawning because we've been doing them in Kenosha, just haven't gotten the recognition.
You know, for us, whether it's our department or it's the finance department, we're all open and welcome to having a student come in and job shadow because certainly we want them to be able to have the opportunity to see it happening firsthand. If that's something that they're considering for a career, we want them to come see it firsthand. And certainly if it's going to inspire them more and get them more excited about that career path, come on in. You know,
and
they just have to call down.
If they see someone that's really excited about doing that, performing that role, being actively engaged in that task, then that's a no-brainer. It's a real value-added experience, and I see a tremendous amount of potential for that simply because of some of the things that we'll talk about later, that I plan to talk about later, the creativity that exists at some of that core level that you're talking about within and throughout the district. If you could walk us through some of the recent changes that you've been instrumental in facilitating, I'd really appreciate it. And if there's anything that the listening public should be aware of that has been either ongoing or we whispered about it, now it's here, what seems to be at the ground level of the landscape that most immediately is going to affect people?
Sure. Well, I think that's the interesting part about our communications department in general, whether it's myself or anybody on my team. I have, like I said, I'm surrounded by amazing people. But pretty much so, almost anything that's happening, we touch in some way, shape, or form, whether we are sending out the media releases to notify our community. We're posting it on our website. We're sharing it on social media. We are creating a brochure or a flyer or a graphic of some kind to put it out there. We have an amazing community relations department that puts on family education programs. Pat Demas, Bonnie, Karina, and Hansel are amazing at helping educate the parents who then turn around and help the students as well. We really do kind of have a hand in all of that. I mean, some of the bigger pieces more recently that are probably more noticeable to the community would have been the referendum.
Athletic facility referendum.
Yes.
Specifically athletic facility.
Correct.
And that was the subject of one of my shows that we had Steve Connect on here describing that and going through the whole presentation on air. So if you didn't have the time to get out to one of the buildings or something like that, you could have listened to it. In fact, now there's a podcast of it, so if you did want to review it, it's available. But please go ahead. That is an enormous consideration, and one that's going to really showcase, I believe, the district.
Yes. You know, for us, that was months of planning prior to it even coming out to the community. It was our communications department working closely closely with Steve Connect, our athletics coordinator, as well as Pat Finnemore from facilities.
Right.
In the past, when we've gone out to referendum, there's been somebody hired who does all of the promotions and helped make the brochures and things of that nature. And we said, no, that's us. We're going to do that this time ourselves. And we really pride ourselves in the quality of the work that came out. We received multiple compliments, but the part for us that was important was making sure that whatever messages were being shared with our community were something that could be understood and read. A lot of times in education, we speak to each other and we use a lot of jargon, and we forget that people outside of the education
professionally specialized terminology.
Yes,
right.
And we forget that people don't know what we're saying. That it's just gibberish to
our sometimes that they expect
community.
It because we're working in education, for example, and are supposed to be literate and communicating at these higher levels and so forth. You had mentioned something before about the graphics, and I know that Steve made a point about as part of how this athletic referendum project was evolving and developing, that student input was tremendously important. It was a bigger piece, I think, than most people would have given credit to or would have recognized. I think you can attest to that, but as you spoke about graphics before, and when a project comes in and Tanya and her band of elves are getting ready to crank things out and so forth. With all of the creative energy that exists throughout the district, are the students ever involved in any of that graphic stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think would be helpful for people to know. Can you give us some examples?
Yes, absolutely. So the other piece, aside from the referendum that I was going to say that our community would be really familiar with, is the anti-bullying campaign.
Yes.
And when the one piece that I can say that I'm most proud of is the district wall calendar that came out this year. And, you know, every year what we do is we try to come up with a theme that's going to not only share the information that our families need and the grandparents and everybody in our community want to know about Kenosha Unified. We want it to be eye-catching and, you know, that they're actually going to want to hang it on the wall. And this year with the anti-bullying campaign, we asked our students to answer one of three questions regarding bullying and to submit the artwork. And then we had a committee that voted on the 12 pieces that would end up in that calendar. And I can't tell you the number of compliments that we received for that calendar, whether it's in Kenosha or as I've attended a conference and people walk up and say, I need to know how you did this. This is amazing. And, you know, it's the student artwork. It's their feelings on paper. It turned out so beautifully, and it's because we just asked. You know, that's all it took was saying, hey, can you guys help us out a little bit? And the counselors jumped on board, the art teachers jumped on board. And that's why when I say I'm surrounded by these amazing people, my department doesn't do this alone. It takes the students, the teachers. Without them, we'd be nothing. So it really is a beautiful district that we work in. And the talent, you know, is right there on everybody's wall in this community. We have, you know, almost 20,000 calendars that are picked up every year by families, and they take them all the way through June. It's amazing.
Well, something that you said strikes me as compelling, that it would be helpful for our listeners to understand now as a project comes up and we want to involve students, is how is this communicated throughout the district? In other words, if, you know, we've really got a new project here that we'd really like to get some fresh looks at as far as some artwork to promote it and market it and so forth and so on. Here's the way we get the students involved. How does that happen? Do you email everybody in the art departments, or how does that get done?
Well, I can use an example. Just today I was
Please.
Walking by the front of the ESC building and saw the front of the building with these big
glorious... What a coincidence. You actually work there.
I do. With these big glorious doors and windows, and thought, man, I bet we have some high school kids who could use those window paints and make this a scene for all who visit the ESC. I mean, we have people come and go out of our building all the time. So I ran it past the superintendent saying, first of all, are you okay with us painting on the windows of the building? It'll be washable, of course. but she was all for it. And so she said, okay, just make sure with facilities. And then
Pat Finnemore gets back in business again.
And then working with coordinator of fine arts, Scott Plank, and he will reach out to the appropriate teachers at that level. And so it's just knowing the avenues. And if a teacher is looking to do something like that and doesn't know the avenue, by all means, they can certainly reach out to me. And I have a lot of people who say, I've never met you, you don't know me, but can you help me with X, Y, and Z? And sometimes it's about publication type stuff, sometimes it's an HR question. They just don't know who to call. But because I'm the email lady, as I'm kind of dubbed a little bit.
Yes, I saw one or two today.
Yes, I know.
And that's great. But to understand more about your role, because I was asked by somebody, oh, this is a great interview. This is a great opportunity, because most people think it's just notes home about bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see, as you've been describing, how flexible and how much latitude your role really encompasses, that why would a teacher think, let me go through media relations. I'm going to talk to Tanya Reuter about an art project. Why would anyone even think to go there? And is there a default understanding throughout the district that you should be the first on people's minds, for example, for something like this? And you know what? It almost sounds counterintuitive in mm-hmm. a way. I could talk to my principal, and then from there, or an assistant principal or something, and it would go forward. But do you find that that's at all a hang-up at all? Or
not necessarily. It's something that I've been working on since mm-hmm. I started, is to get people familiar with what should they send to us, and that and what we can do to help them mm-hmm. build upon what they're doing or promote it to our community. Mm-hmm. And we've started some more with sharing out through some of our internal e-newsletter type things, is, hey, if you want to have a student recognized at the board meeting, here's the form. If you want us to come out and take pictures to try to help promote this, here's the form. Just let us know, because we need some of those details, place, date,
sure.
time. Otherwise, we can't show up. If we don't know what's happening, we can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been the biggest struggle, but I think people are starting to get there. And a lot of times, even if a teacher's not thinking of us first, the principals are, they've become a lot more comfortable. They know me, they trust me, and if the teacher approaches the principal says, yeah. you need to call Tanya Reuter, and then we take it from there. And it's been really great. I think, we've done a lot more even in the last 2 years than my first year, because people are becoming familiar and they're becoming comfortable, and they're seeing what yeah. we can do, or they see what their coworker did, and their coworker says, I know, call the communications
yes.
department,
yeah.
call Tanya or Pat or Pete or Adam or Jesse,
right.
and they just are starting to know us. And
it's almost like watching an ad about Time Warner and their business services. You're thinking, why would I go to them? I just need them for cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the impression, if it's fair to say, that if a teacher or someone in the district has something, send it by you first and say, is there anything that you can do with this? And then let you filter it out and say, nope, not on my watch or whatever. And at least you do the rule out and say, but you might want to head in this direction.
Sure. And that has already happened. I've had
sure.
a couple people who have just approached about different things. I can say, this isn't me, but I do know who you need to talk
uh-huh.
to. And a lot of times I just happen to know the right person, and it connects them, and off they go. So, I'm happy to be helpful in any way possible.
Okay. Well, this is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm Chuck Wolbers, and I'm the co-moderator of Education Matters. And today my guest is Mrs. Tanya Reuter, and she's the KUSD Director of Community Partnerships and Media Relations. We've been discussing her role in that capacity and some of the activities she directs on behalf of our students, their families, and neighbors and stakeholders in the Kenosha area. So we've been talking primarily about the considerable number of avenues that you travel. And my question, this is not a... anything like a blind side, but you did mention you have a tremendous amount of marketing credentials. Is there anything in your position that you miss out of pure marketing, where public relations and communications and media relations is more the spokesperson, whereas marketing is a different application of
mm-hmm.
those kind of business and communication skills? So is there anything you miss about that? And so for the student who comes up and says, well, I understand you got a marketing background, what can you tell me about it? Is it frustrating for you at all to say, well, I'd really like to do something marketing? Do you feel there's some portion of your professional preparation that's even unfulfilled because of the tremendous amount? I've heard marketing in your background so much, I think, my goodness, here's a real authority.
No, not necessarily. I think the for me and my career path, the way that I've just been led, and, you know, I feel like I'm in the place I'm supposed to be, which is great. But I can say that I, you know, there's a side of marketing. I work on the public sector side, and that's okay. Very different than the private sector.
Fair enough. Yes.
Just using, you know, my husband's workplace as a comparison, he'll come home with chapsticks that have their logo on it, notepads, bags, you name it, and he'll have all of these things that I can see that. And I just, okay. To me, immediately, I'm like, well, that's a lot of money. How do you guys afford all of these things? And so for me, and
it's a well-considered risk.
I think, you know, it almost makes for a stronger or a more challenging, I guess, position, because everything we do on a tiny budget, you know, sure. and it's a big job for us. We want our community to know education is becoming a more competitive marketplace. Mm-hmm. So we have students who we're trying to bring into Kenosha Unified, because as enrollment falls, that causes issues, you know, in other areas of the organization. And so we're always trying to make sure that our enrollment is not only staying up. A lot of times that's impacted by birth rate, which we can't. We're not going to market about increasing birth
rate.
Can't
factor that into your marketing plan, I don't think.
No. But we do want to, you know, it is for us to try to draw through open enrollment or whatever it might be to Kenosha Unified. And we have to do so with very, very limited funds. So for us, it's about being creative and how can we do this.
And frugal.
Reach our community. A lot of times it's about even spreading the word within Kenosha so that they talk to friends, family, neighbors. Try to get them to come to Kenosha, see this as a family-centered town with great schools that are going to provide exactly what they would want to help raise their children. And we do that on a tiny budget, where in the private sector, they might have $1 million budget and they can do a lot more than what we can do. But, you know, you pride yourself on that. So,
and having gone there, then, what do you feel, I hope it's fair without putting anyone else on the spot or anything else like that, but you have the inside track. What is the strongest marketing feature that KUSD has to attract students here, that in a day and age, in a world where we've got vouchers to compete with and image issues and so forth and so on? I would think that my last guest and their principal, Bill Hittman, Tim Overocker, and Dr. Eric Schroeder, and the great things they're doing at Lakeside is, Lakeview Tech, has a tremendous ability for you to be able to capitalize on that and say, mm-hmm. this is just one example of the great things we're doing. Is there anything else, or is there anything that you feel is your go-to immediately?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the success stories. You know, whether it be the Lakeview stories where they are one of the top 10 in the country, or be it about, you know, the students over at Lincoln Middle School who stood up for another student and that went worldwide immediately. We have really great things happening in our schools that you don't necessarily find everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're in a district our size. I mean, we're educating over 22,000 students. That's not peanuts. That's a lot of students. That's mm-hmm. a lot of families that we deal with.
It's a lot of specialized concerns. Let's face it. It's not, you can't broad brush that and say, well, we do this well. Come on in.
Right. And we have, you know, in Kenosha, the one other thing is that we offer choice to our families right here in Kenosha. We have charters, but they're under the umbrella of the Kenosha Unified. It's not a separate entity. We have our choice schools. You know, you have Lakeview. That's not a charter school. That's a choice school. Right. It's a Kenosha Unified school. You have K-Tech. That's, you know, these, we have Dimensions of Learning. We have eSchool. We offer a lot of options for our families right here in Kenosha to try to make sure that regardless of what their child's needs are, we can meet them. I think that is a really big piece for us to offer, whether you're in Kenosha or coming to Kenosha.
So looking forward, and we're talking about as the first semester progresses, if a family had some concerns or were unhappy about where they were outside of the district, is there a particular population or demographic that you feel is being underserved and that KUSD can, through their marketing approach, really most positively benefit or affect? And I hope that's a fair question. And this kind of discussion it's fair to take its own shape as you're familiar with, because you are so articulate and sharp and on top of things that I never even considered, sometimes even working in the district.
To say that we're actually targeting one group here or there, no. But we do work closely with our Department at Accountability. They're the ones who are knowing all of the open enrollment numbers and where are we losing our families. So that helps us kind of adjust where need be. We also work really closely with some of our community partners. CABA is one of the big groups that's been bringing business after business to Kenosha. And so for us, we try to partner with them to ensure that they have the information needed. So when they're going to pitch to a company, they can say, here's why Kenosha is where you need to bring your business and your employees with you. Here's why the schools are going to be a great fit for your employees, families, and children. So it's not just about who we see and who we serve necessarily in the district. It's about mm-hmm. who we serve in the community as well.
Mm-hmm. And your part in this is to deploy that to these different entities and understanding how the various projects that you are referring to evolve and get developed through faculty, student integration and involvement, and how they're prioritized and communicated through your administrative responsibilities. You talked about interagency and media source integration.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's one of the big things that's going to be coming up. I'll let you talk about, hey, let's talk about the weather. Here we are on a Saturday morning, and someone's got to get concerned about the weather. Obviously not going to be a snow day here that we have to worry about, but how is that working, and is that something, if we change gears a little bit, where is your, why would anyone think, well, Tanya Reuter does something about weather? How the heck does that factor in?
Yes, I do a lot of the weather. Yes. Yeah, so there is a behind the scenes team that supports the superintendent. So Dr. Sue is up and probably pacing all night long if there's a big snowstorm on the horizon or frigid cold temperatures coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that group includes myself, Pat Finnemore from facilities, a couple of his guys, and it comes down to the group being awake in the wee hours of the morning. His team is out driving streets if it's snowing out, checking to see if things are shoveled. Can we get in and out of our schools? Could we have our parking lots plowed in time? And then she also
has the little pieces about what goes into the weeds that a lot of people don't realize.
Right.
It's an enormous consideration, and then at the end of the morning,
mm-hmm.
We're not going to wait till the end of the day. At the end of the morning, by a certain time, you've got to pick up the phone.
Yes.
This is Tanya Reuter, and I'm releasing this on behalf of my district.
Yes.
This is how it works.
So once we know, because we have 40 schools, so it's a lot, too. So we have to make sure that we can actually open and function. And if not, or if it's too cold and Dr. Sue makes that call, we immediately spring into action, and my team and I post on all of the TV stations. We post it on our website, our social media, our Channel 20. We get it out to WGTD, WLIP, Kenosha News, and because there's a few of us working on it, there's four of us who tackle that. We usually get it done in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
But yeah, so at about...
So you can go home and enjoy a snow day.
Oh, no, I have to go to work. But the kids get to enjoy the snow day, yes. But yes, it is one of those things that we try to make sure that it's up there no later than 5:30 if we can do it earlier, because we understand. I mean, parents and families have to find childcare, sometimes alternate childcare in case their childcare closes on them, because mm-hmm. sometimes when we close, so do the daycares. And then now parents are scrambling to find an alternate to the daycare option.
A huge consideration, and the mechanism and the process alone is daunting, but to wrap it all up and put it to bed, if you want to call it that, in 15 minutes is pretty remarkable. Is that an industry standard, or is that something that Kenosha does extremely well, or are other people doing it in like 8?
I'll say it a million times if I need to. I have an amazing team.
Oh, no doubt. No two ways
really,
about it.
I really do. They're really amazing.
And they're
split
so friendly. I think they are truly a reflection of your leadership and your spirit, and I think that's also something that is an indication of leadership. Whether it's Sherry or Gil answering the phone, my goodness, you are immediately reassured.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very important for people to realize, and that they may just take for granted, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, Everyone has bad days. You never seem to know it from them.
They are very good, and they know the whole district, which is amazing. So it helps when somebody calls, they can get them right to the right place. They know where they need to be, and it is good. And I would like to just put in there if our families or our listeners want to know if school is going to be closed, we do have our text alert system that is in place now, and I would highly recommend that because. Mm-hmm. In addition to everything else, we send a text message out right away at 5:30 in the morning. And they can find that by going to Kenosha Unified's website, KUSD.edu, click About, School Closing Procedures, and there's a box that they will click, enter their name and cell phone number. Text message rates do apply, but they will then be on the list. And that's almost one of the more powerful things is to be able to send 20,000 text messages within a matter of seconds.
Yes.
But our families have loved it. I mean, regardless of whether they had time to get to the TV, they're usually getting it on their cell phone right away. So it's a beautiful thing with the technology
today. And I'll mention even the staff has access to that also. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very helpful to know and be able to look forward to some of the challenges, unanticipated certainly, how this might affect homework, how it might affect a test or something like that, so that those teachers are not necessarily just rolling over. They've got oftentimes a requirement to scramble and readjust something because of that. I think I have beat up all of the immediate responsibilities, unless there's anything else you wanted to add, and I hope that as we come down to closing out the time here. It's gone very, very quickly, and it's not surprising to me. This is a very engaging conversation, and there's so much that we can learn. And I think it's time to talk about any upcoming events and promotional activity that we can expect you to be involved with as the school year progresses.
Sure. Just to pitch in general about things going on in the district, December is just a wonderful time in Kenosha Unified. We have concerts going on at almost all of our schools, whether it's choir, band, orchestra, you name it. You're
all
bound to find something.
Yes.
So please come on out and enjoy anything that you can think of there, as well as the Christmas feast, which is a tradition that's lasted for years. And people, just adore that. We have Godspell opening in January at Indian Trail. The Children's Hour opens at Tremper in January. We have Bandorama at the end of January, which is another one of our huge festivals. We just finished Jazz Fest, which was amazing, and we had multiple compliments to our fine arts department on that.
Probably an unrecognized source of incredible talent is the music caliber here and culture that exists within Kenosha. I think that it would get overlooked sometimes on behalf of or as something that we don't tend to look at simply because there have been other focus with the manufacturing and automotive industry that had so much to do with the culture. But I was fortunate at any time of. Well, most times of year, and especially this time of year, as at Tremper High School, where when the bands are practicing for the concerts and so forth, it's so seasonal and festive. It's and the caliber of talent is just remarkable.
The level of talent from our students in the fine arts in general is just astounding. I mean, if you haven't had a chance to go to a
arts
concert
and fine arts,
or
yes,
the theater.
Yeah.
Performance, then you're missing out. I mean, that's all you can say, because to know that you have eighth grade students who are performing like a professional.
High quality, low cost family entertainment. And I guess low cost is relative compared to or based on what your family's budget is. But I know that there are opportunities for everyone to be able to take advantage of. What are some of the sources besides the website to find out about when and where these events are coming up? Let's plan it. Let's talk about it as a family. This is where we'd like to go. This is how we're going to plan our evening.
Mm-hmm. Of course, always KUSD.edu.
Sure.
We're on Facebook/ Kenosha Schools. We're on Twitter. Of course, all of our schools have posters up. We have these posters in our public libraries. They're in our grocery stores. Pretty much so any parent of a student is probably talking about it at some point. So
this
word of
week,
mouth.
Happenings, some of the local events.
There's usually preview articles done by the local papers as well. So it's out there, and it's certainly right. easy to find.
The
tickets
the conventional
can be
media sources,
on our website,
and then certainly some of the unconventional ones, as you mentioned, the social networking, Facebook and Twitter, and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, we were just speaking briefly before we went on air, that that's also somewhere where you get involved with school board meetings, and or at least are attending, and
mm-hmm.
those minutes and that information is also available.
Right.
From the website.
Yes. We have our YouTube channel. So
YouTube.
I attend.
Okay.
Pete from my team actually comes every single committee meeting and board meeting, and he tapes special meetings. So he records those, and we post those on our YouTube channel, which is YouTube/Kenosha Schools. And on there, we also have feature videos, employee spotlights. I mean, if you want to learn about Kenosha Unified, go to the YouTube channel and
sure.
take
yes.
you know
yeah.
a half hour and just get lost in videos about
what
the different things going on.
A great tutorial for almost anything, my
mm-hmm.
goodness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this may seem unfair, but I just want to throw it in as we get ready to sign off. Are there any of these activities that you feel especially compelled to mention or especially proud of that you get involved in terms of the media relations and the releases to the, I mean, my goodness, Gateway Technical College, Rotary Club, there are so many community agencies that rely heavily and upon and support what the school district does. Is there an area, academic, athletic, either performing arts, fine arts, public relations, certainly, that you feel especially proud of?
I think a lot of our work has been tied to, we do so much. It's
yes,
hard,
yes,
you know, like with the athletics, the referendum,
tough,
we
right.
was a
it'd
huge
be
part.
Tough to
but,
pick one.
On a more regular basis, we have our posters, the posters for everything is created through our department, through our graphic designer, Pete. He's extremely creative. We have a team that he has of others in our department as well who go out and they film all of that, and then they
Wonderful.
Go back and Jesse takes photos, Adam helps take video. They come back, they compile that into recaps of the event. Jesse is posting stuff on social media like crazy from those events. So even if somebody in the community missed it, they didn't really have to miss it because it's still living on at least all of our social media and our website items. We're sharing it with the Kenosha News. We're sending out releases. And, you know, we're trying to make sure that these things aren't just a one-and-done type event, that they can be relived for days, weeks, months, years to come.
Wonderful. Just mm-hmm. have to look it up. Well, thank you so much. This has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm Chuck Wolberts, co-moderator of Education Matters. And today's guest has been Mrs. Tanya Reuter. She is the KUSD Director of Community Partnerships and Media Relations. We've been discussing her role in that capacity and some of the activities she directs on behalf of our students, their families, and the neighbors and stakeholders in the Kenosha area. We're grateful for her innovative, energizing efforts which benefit and drive KUSD to achieve its ambitious mission and commitment to student achievement as it helps define our entire community so richly because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus, honoring personal legacies in the circle of life. They believe that every detail counts and every memory matters. Piasecki Althaus is located in Kenosha on 39th Avenue, serving the community since 1931.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
WGTD is an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR, a cultural asset and a community resource. WGTD is owned and operated by Gateway Technical College, with additional financial support from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association and local underwriters whose customers value public radio.
...24/7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently